Is it on there? It is on there. It's on there. Great. Well, I already feel blessed and encouraged tonight because someone came in tonight and said, I came because I thought David Hill was speaking. So, I mean, can it get any better, you know? But I can look like David Hill, watch. Or even this. How's that? As you know, we're following this book, really. We're looking at the prayer of Jabez, but really following Wilkinson's book, where he sets out these little bits of the prayer. Now, hopefully it's going to come up. There it is. And since David read it earlier, we won't need to read it again. But there's the prayer that Jabez prayed. So what do we know about him? Well, we know about his name. His name means he causes or he will cause pain. What a great name. It's a fantastic name, isn't it? So, let's see. And it reminded me of a song by Johnny Cash, A Boy Named Sue. You know, and if you remember in that story, this person has a really tough life. And at the end, he says to his father, he says, "Why did you call me Sue?" And he says, "Because I knew it would make you the person you are today." And I just wonder if, although his mother called him Jabez, you know, because he caused her pain in childbirth, if that wasn't a spur for something better, to go past that, not to accept what had been said about him. What else do we know about him? We know very little, because we see in Chronicles, there's just this little piece jumps out the page. It looks like it shouldn't even be there. And it just jumps out and says, oh, and Jabez, now he's worthy of a special mention, is he not? So the first thing we know is that's what we know about him. He is worthy of a very special mention. He was more honorable than his brothers. He was more honorable than his brothers. He was better than them, obviously. Outclassed them. Went beyond them. Wow. That makes him special. What else do we know? Well, that's this way, isn't it? He was known as one who prayed. Right? I don't think this was his only prayer. I think Jabez said a lot of prayers, a lot of the time. I think his practice of his life included prayer. So he was a praying man. Who else do we know that was a praying man in the Bible? Daniel. Daniel prayed, didn't he? Daniel used to open the doors and he would pray to God. And Daniel, what a life Daniel had. He served the king. He got the great experience of standing in a lion's den. Wow. He had some interesting times. He was a praying man. And there's a line in James, I think it's 5:16, I think that's where it is. It says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Okay? Or to put it another way, he may have said, try praying. Because it will change things. Prayer does change things. It's absolutely true. And what else do we know about, he was known as the one who prayed, but what else do we know? God answered his prayers. Now, that's kind of important, because you can pray lots of prayers, and you probably have prayed lots and lots of prayers, and sometimes, you know, there doesn't seem to be an answer. And you think, God, has he heard my prayer? And, of course, the truth is, he always hears your prayer. Why does he not always answer? I don't know. Sometimes he sees further than you can, and sometimes he's got something else in mind. But he knows best, so we can leave it with him. But he always hears your prayer. But we know that God answered his prayer, this particular prayer that he prayed. Solomon came to mind when I was thinking about all of this, because Jabez asked God to bless him and extend his borders, his territory, increase what he has. And Solomon, when he asked God for something, what did he ask for? Solomon asked for wisdom, didn't he? Yeah. Now, you see, I think like Jabez, he didn't ask for something for himself so that he could be better or stronger or whatever. He actually asked for something so he could do his job well. And I think Jabez asked for these things, not that so he could become rich and have power and influence. I think he asked for those things so that through him, God could be seen. God's blessing could be seen. So that God would use his life to show people what God was like. And I think that's what it was. So Solomon asked for wisdom. God gave him wisdom, and he ruled well. He was a great king. He asked for something from God to let him do his job better, perhaps to do it in the way that God would do it, rather than the way he might have if God hadn't given him the gift. So we know that. Someone else who came to mind was Jacob. Now, Jacob wrestled with an angel. I mean, I'd imagine that's quite a difficult thing to do. But Jacob wrestled with an angel. And he wouldn't let go of the angel until he received a blessing. That's how much he wanted that blessing. And he was injured in this wrestling, and he had a limp for the rest of his life. But God changed his name. He gave him the blessing, and he changed his name to Israel. And he became the father of a nation. So maybe it's worth fighting for the blessing and asking for the blessing and seeking after the blessing. Now, the next thing I'm going to tell you, I know I've not gone to my topic yet, by the way, but the next thing I'm going to tell you is that according to Jewish history, Jabez was a doctor of the law, and he left a lot of disciples after him. A lot of people learned from him and followed him. Now, that's interesting. Now, that can't be substantiated in Scripture, but but I think that's a fascinating fact, whether or not it's absolutely true, right? And if you look in chapter 2, ahead of chapter 4, you'll find there's actually a city called Jabez. Now, I don't know if it's related to him or not, but why would you call a city Pain? You know, it seems like a really odd thing to call your city. Perhaps, the city is actually the result of God's blessing on Jabez, because there's only one city called Jabez, and there only seems to be one person called it, and why would you call anybody else Jabez? But there you go. So these are just some facts and some possibilities that I'm putting before you, just so we can understand the person who's writing this prayer, okay? Just so we can just see a glimpse of him. And there, of course, it is again. You'll see it many times, but there it is again. There's that prayer. And we, of course, are going to look at this one, okay? Right. Now, do you think this prayer is a magic formula? Do you think that if we just pray this prayer over and over and over again, that everything will just be fantastic? Perhaps, I don't know. Perhaps it's not so much about what's in the wording of the prayer, although it's important, asking God to bless you, extend your territory, to walk with you, and to keep you from evil. Those sound like good things. The Lord's Prayer has some of those things in it too, does it not? And that's one that we recite quite often, every Sunday, in fact, we recite it. But it's not so much the words, is it really? It's more than that. I don't think it's a magic formula. You see, God hears our words. Yeah? He reads our thoughts. And he searches our hearts. And he does that constantly. Constantly. And what he's interested in, above everything else, is what is in your heart? What motivates you? What drives you? What is your vision for tomorrow, next week, next year, and so on? What's in your heart? What's driving you? Perhaps it's nothing. Perhaps you need something. So you say to God, give me something that I can run with. So these prayers are valuable. Jabez's prayer, the Lord's prayer, they're valuable prayers. They're very special prayers. They encourage us to take the focus away from ourselves and put it on God, because both these prayers do that. They involve him. They draw him. They say, Father, come to us. And I guess the most important thing about Jesus' prayer, the Lord's prayer, is he tells us something right at the beginning of that prayer, which must have been a shock to those that heard it. He says, pray like this, our Father, who's in heaven. And that must have been a shock to these Jews. You have to pray like this. Call God your Father. That would have been a bit of a stumbling block for many of them, because they held God in such high esteem that it would have been very difficult for them to do. But that's what Jesus said. He is your Father. Wilkinson states in his book that if seeking God's blessings is our ultimate act of worship, and asking to do more for him, enlarging the territory, is our utmost ambition, then asking for God's hand upon us is our strategic choice to sustain and continue the great things that God has begun in our lives, to sustain it. You see, you can have a flash in the pan or you can have a continuous thing. God doesn't call us to live flash in the pan lives. He calls us to live a sustained life. And it'll only be sustained if he's in it. Because if you do it on your own, at some point you'll fail. You might be able to do it in your own strength for quite a while, but at some point you will fail. Because God calls us to live a life that unless he helps us, it's never going to work. Because his standards are high. And it needs his input all the time. That your hand would be with me. So we'll better get to the topic, because that's the topic tonight. Is it you that I really want, and for others to see your greatness, right? Sorry, it is you that I really want, and others to see your greatness. That's what I feel Jabez is praying here. He's praying for God to do these things. That's what this prayer is about. It's saying to God, come into my life with power, right? Let people see the blessing in my life because you're in it. Right? And the enlarging of territory, the effect that it has, yes, because I want them to see your greatness. So I think this prayer is all about Jabez saying, God, come and let people see the difference, enlarge your kingdom. Jesus made a promise to his disciples that he would never leave them, didn't he? He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. But he did. He died on the cross. But he appeared to them again after his death. So he did. So although he was apart from them for a while, it wasn't for very long. And then when he left eventually to go to heaven, he said, I'll send you the Holy Spirit. So he had it covered. What he meant was, you'll never be without my presence one way or another. And of course, we have the same option now, you know, don't we? Because thanks to Jesus and the Holy Spirit can live in us. So we can be close to God all the time. So we can have what Jabez was praying for all the time. It's ours through Christ to have that closeness of God, to have his Spirit within us. Something John said this morning rung a bell with me, so I thought I'd repeat it because I thought it was brilliant. He said that Jesus left his godly power in heaven, relying on his Father's approval and the power to come through the Holy Spirit, because he had to be like us. If he's going to die for us, to come down and be a man like us, yeah? So he left that power in heaven. He didn't have it. He didn't have it when he fed the 5,000. He didn't have it when all those miracles happened. But he had God's approval, and the Holy Spirit was there to make things happen. He has it now, but he didn't have it then, because he had to do it in the same way that we can do it. Right? So that means that we can now do it. That was an easy argument. But that's it, isn't it? We have the power. And he instructs us to do exactly what he did. That's what he said. He said, follow me, take up your cross, do exactly what I've done. And that's really all we're being asked to do. Operate the same way that Jesus did. God doesn't want to do things for us as much as he wants to do things through us. And sometimes we're praying and we're saying to God, would you make this happen? Would you open this door? And quite often, God's saying, why don't we go and open this door? Why don't we go and do this? Because God wants to do things with you. Why? Because your faith will grow that way. It won't grow the other way. It grows if you work with God. So he wants to do things through you, with you. Jesus modeled all this, you know. He was constantly in communication with his Father. The Holy Spirit was forever around him. And all the things, because wherever he went, there was something happening. How was it happening? Because the Holy Spirit was there. That's how it was happening. And Jabez is just praying this prayer, and he's saying, let my life be like this. This is before Jesus. But he's saying, let my life be like this so that people can see you, God. That's what I want. Is there a link between all these things that Jabez prays? I think there is, yes. I think if you put it all together, he's basically asking those simple things. God, be part of my life and let people see it. To be blessed, to expand your territory, to have influence, to have God's hand on him and to be saved from evil. Those are the things he's praying for. If you wanted to play tennis and you're going to play doubles, who would you want to be your doubles partner? Just, you know, anybody? Anybody at all? Who would you ask to be your doubles partner at tennis?
Mixed doubles.
Oh, is it mixed doubles? I was expecting Andy Murray. But, you know, you don't have to say Andy Murray. You can say somebody else. You can say Roger Federer. You can say, yeah, okay, I was thinking men's doubles. But, I mean, if you wanted someone to play tennis with you in doubles, you would pick the best person you could find, yes? Yes. This is what Jabez is doing. It's like God says, you want to play tennis, and Jabez says, I want you. I want you. It's the same thing. Come and play tennis with me. Except God's not going to play tennis. God's going to change your world. God wants to play doubles. He chooses you. And Jabez asks for something that he knows God wants him to have. God wants to bless you. God wants to increase your territory. God wants you to increase, to have influence. And he wants people to see that you belong to him. He wants people to see that. So praying a prayer like Jabez prayed is a safe bet that God's going to answer it, because it's already what he wants to do. He's just looking for people who are willing to pray that prayer, to open their hearts, to let him in. That's it, in a nutshell. Nikki spoke, when she spoke a few weeks ago, about a box in heaven full of blessings. And that when someone died, they got there and they said, what's that box all about? And the person said, that's all the blessings you could have had, but you never asked for them. Wow. That's all the blessings you could have had, but you never asked for them. They were waiting. That was powerful. So I wrote it down, and I've told you again. So basically, when God comes into your life and answers a prayer like Jabez's prayer, which is what Jabez's prayer was saying, God, come into my life and make a difference. Your hand will be with me. It's really saying you have a touch of greatness in your life. That's what you can have. And the other thing is, there are unlimited blessings and gifts. They're available if you want them. In Galatians 5, we can read about the gifts of the Spirit. There are gifts of the Spirit that we can all say to God, Father, would you send your gifts, the gifts of your Spirit? And sometimes he gives gifts to different people. Interpretation of tongues, gifts of prophecy, lots of things. They're all written there. But there's even more than that, because there's such variety in what God has. But there are tremendous things that God has if we just ask him for them. They're all there. You don't want to get to heaven and see a box, because you know what it's going to be. It's going to be all the things you could have had, but you didn't ask. And there are unlimited blessings and gifts. If you want God to establish his kingdom through you, which is what Jabez is praying, there's nothing that God will not do on your behalf. If that's your heart, there's nothing that God will not do. What if God's desire for a relationship with us, right, which we're sure of, but what if that is so great that all of the gifts and all of the blessings and everything else only work if he's there? You know, I think that's how it is. And I really believe that, because his presence needs to be there for all of this to work. It's not just you can run off and play with it, because if his presence isn't there, it's not going to work. Because I think they're so powerful, the things that God gives us, that unless there's a control through the Holy Spirit, there's no safety. And God's built safety in. But we can be conduits or access points for people touching God, can't we? Because God promises that these things will flow through us to other people. And if you've ever experienced that, and I suspect many of you have, you'll know how wonderful that is. And it's also wonderful to know that it's not you. So you won't be expected to repeat it, because it's not you, it's God. If he's there, it'll happen. And the Holy Spirit can easily be grieved, can't he? Because we read that in Scripture too. And that's why the end of that prayer is prayed. Because Jabez knows he doesn't want to lose the thing once it begins. He doesn't want to lose it. He doesn't want to lose the blessing. He doesn't want to get hurt. And that's really, and that's not my topic. That's for another week, isn't it? So I have to leave it there. So we can be conduits. God's hand fell on me when I was 17. It was quite a powerful experience, and it was on my birthday, which was quite unique. And I've watched God's blessings through my life. I've watched him bring me Susan. I've seen all my kids born and grew up. I've seen his influence as we've moved house, which house to buy. It's been incredible, really. I have a lawyer who is a nervous wreck, because I just tell him that's the house. Buy that one. And he says, well, no, you can't do that. You haven't sold you out. You did. Anyway, we've done all that stuff. Poor guy. Hopefully he's learning. But I've seen God's blessings right through my life. And Jabez encourages us to say to God, let me see them. God has them for you. So don't let them go by. I've also made costly mistakes. And I haven't got some of those blessings that I could have had. And that's sad, because I know I've missed out. You know? But you know what? There's plenty in the box. So the good thing is there's still plenty in the box. So don't worry if you think you've missed out a bit or you haven't applied early enough. Don't worry about that. Right? They're all still waiting. They're all still there. Imagine that you are Jabez and you're praying this prayer. Right? Now what we're going to do is we're going to play you a song. Right? It's a song about Jabez's prayer. It's recorded by Mark Waller. And Nick's hopefully queuing all this up for you. And as you listen to this song, you can see the words on the screen, because I'm going to put the words on the screen for you as well. Or you might just want to close your eyes and listen to the words of the song, because it really is the prayer. You might want to pray the prayer at the same time as it's being sung. That's okay. You can do that. Are you okay, Nick? Just wait and see if this starts. And that's how I'm going to end. We're just going to play the song and look at the words. A little bit louder. Thank you.
This is what I pray.